This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. We're heating things up following last week's cold snap with a spicy opera, fiery tango, and hot jazz ballet. Yes, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Opera Association continues its 75th anniversary season with George Chadwick's burlesque opera, Tabasco. The return of the opera comes as Tabasco Pepper Sauce is celebrating its 150th anniversary. Joining me to talk about this spicy operetta is Tony Simmons, president of McElhaney Company, makers of Tabasco Pepper Sauce, and conductor Paul Mofray. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you for having us.
Tell us the story behind this 19th century opera.
It was a very popular opera back in the day in 1894. It was performed in Boston, in New York, and throughout America in at least 35 different cities. And it was a big success. Unfortunately, there were just problems that the producers who were taking it on tour throughout America, they weren't paying the composer his royalties. When he found out they were still having a successful tour without paying him his fair share of the ticket sales, he simply took back the music, hid it away in a crate, and never had it performed again. And he went on to write a completely different style of music. So we've never heard this opera. And I think that's almost a more fascinating tale than the actual plot of the show. But the plot is indeed about Tabasco sauce. When they were writing the opera, they just thought it would be a wonderful idea to include the Tabasco sauce in it. And usually when I tell people it's an opera about Tabasco, they just chuckle and laugh as a gut reaction. I don't know why.
How did that come to be?
I really don't know. They must have thought, well, this will be a perfect key element to a plot. We can write an opera where Tabasco sauce plays the key role. And the funny thing is, they didn't think about asking McElhaney Company for permission to do this till after they had finished the show. And we have a copy of a letter where they wrote to them saying, by the way, we wrote an opera about your sauce. Is that okay with you? Do we have your permission? Or is it a trademark that we need to be worried about? And the McElhaney Company at the time wrote back to them saying, no, we love your idea. In fact, we will help you sponsor your production if you will hand out samples of Tabasco sauce at the performances. And they created those tiny little, what are they called?
Eight-ounce minis,
those tiny little bottles that I think most people assumed were made for army rations or something. But no, they were invented specifically to be handed out at performances of the Tabasco opera. And we'll be passing them out at the performance.
And we'll be passing out 8-ounce minis at the end of the performances.
Now, Tony, tell us more about the McElhaney Company's involvement with the production.
About 2011, Paul got in touch with me and said, Tony, I have the libretto, I have the music, I have the director's notes for the opera. And we said, Paul, that is just terrific news because we have searched and looked. McElhaney Company employs a full-time PhD in history as our archivist and historian, Dr. Shane Bernard.
And he's been invaluable, very helpful at this.
And Dr. Bernard said, Tony, we've never seen him. We have some of the music because one of the songs, I think the Tabasco March, was very popular at the time and it got recorded.
That happened to be the only piece that the composer literally tore out of the score and sold to someone for $25. And it went on to be his most successful piece of music that was republished over 100,000 times. He didn't know that was going to be such a big hit. And unfortunately, that caused a few problems with the show because when he tore it out, we lost all the music that came after it.
Oh, my.
But at least we had that clue.
And so Paul came to me and we said, you know, we told him, Paul, that's wonderful because we've been able to locate one of the songs and we also have a copy of the program from one of the performances, but it doesn't give us any of the libretto. It doesn't give us any of the depth of the opera. And he said, well, I'm working on it to try to get the music back to where it could be performed. And in 2012, I told Paul, I think that McElhaney Company would be interested in looking at underwriting this performance of the Tabasco opera, which hasn't been seen since 1895. As part of our 150th anniversary in 2018. So we've actually been working on this now. I guess it's coming up to 5 years, over 5 years.
Wow. You're the president of the McElhinney Company. Do you have a relation with the family?
Edmund McElhinney, who invented Tabasco sauce, was my great-great-grandfather. One of his sons, E.A. McElhinney, had three daughters and no sons. And one of those daughters was my grandmother, Polly McElhinney. So when she married, the name changed from McElhinney to Simmons.
So, Paul, tell us, what can audiences look forward to?
They can look forward to a fun, rollicking show with lots of wonderful tunes. They'll get stuck in your head, and in fact, you'll be able to sing along with by the second or third verse, definitely. It's written in the style of Gilbert and Sullivan. So if you like the Mikado, the Pirates of Penzance, HMS Pinafore, this will be right up your alley. It's called the Burlesque Opera Tabasco, but I don't want to disappoint you if you have an idea of what burlesque is these days. Back in the 1800s, burlesque only meant that it was a parody of high art. So we're making fun of serious opera by putting on a fun show.
So burlesque equals comedy in this sense.
Exactly, yes. And one of my favorite little tidbits of trivia is that when you think of why does this sound so much like Gilbert and Sullivan? Well, Arthur Sullivan, the musical composer element of the team Gilbert and Sullivan, he studied and learned his craft of composition at the Leipzig Conservatory. And George Whitfield Chadwick also studied composition at the Leipzig Conservatory just a few years after Arthur Sullivan, most likely with the same teachers.
So what's the storyline?
It's about an Irishman who gets shipwrecked in Tangier in Morocco. And they have a pasha there who is very demanding as far as his cooks and his food preparation goes. And he's just gotten rid of his last cook, if you know what I mean, because the last cook couldn't cook anything spicy enough. So they're looking for a new chef, and they recruit this Irishman who's been shipwrecked there. But everyone knows the Irish aren't particularly known for their spicy cooking. And sure enough, he disappoints as well. And they warn him if he can't come up with a spicy meal by the next one, he'll be finished off. So he's literally got to come up with something spicy to save his head. And he doesn't know what he'll do. And magically, of course, the Tabasco sauce saves the day.
Who's in the cast?
I wanted to have as many singers as possible being local, such as Betsy Ushkrat, Ken Weber, Taylor Miller, Davida Karanas. She's a local singer, but she sings roles at the Metropolitan Opera as well. Brindley McWhorter is our mezzo. She sang the role of Lola in Cavan Pag recently, and she's singing the role of Lola in Tabasco. So she's two Lolas this season. Ivan Griffin, of course, we cannot forget, who you will have known from performances of Opera Creole. So literally every singer I've mentioned so far has been involved in a New Orleans opera production. The only one of our seven leading singers who is not a local known commodity is John Tiedelman. He sings the role of Marco. And then, of course, we have the New Orleans Opera Chorus and the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra in the pit.
What are you hoping audiences will take away from this performance?
I'm hoping that they will go home and want to listen to it again on YouTube. We have a wonderful YouTube playlist of 17 videos, about 70 minutes worth of music that we recorded in Europe. And those videos have titles under them so you can sing along as well. And once people start hearing how charming the music is and sharing it with their friends on Facebook and everything, I'm sure this will become a very popular opera. It would be the cornerstone of our American opera history, I'm sure, if it had not simply gotten boxed away and never published.
We think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're very grateful that Paul really made this sort of a labor of love.
It's really the fulfillment of a life dream of mine, especially to be able to bring something back that should mean so much to our city, to our state, to our cultural heritage.
Conductor Paul Mofre and Tony Simmons, president of McElhinney Company, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
George Chadwick's Tabasco, a burlesque opera, opens at Le Petit Theatre with performances running Thursday through Sunday. More info at neworleansopera.org. And the hot spell continues as the New Orleans Ballet Association, NOBA, heats up your night with sizzling dance as it presents Tango Fire of Argentina. The critically acclaimed dance company from Buenos Aires is directed and choreographed by international tango superstar Herman Cornejo, who joins us now by phone. Herman, welcome to the program.
Hello, Diane. Thank you so much for this invitation.
Will this be your first time performing in New Orleans?
For me, it will be the first time, but not for the company. They were there, I think it was 2008, but it will be the first time, and almost for all of us here in the company.
You know, the very name Tango Fire stirs up images of electric and sensual dance. Why is that?
You know, the tango is one of the dance forms most sensual in the world and also the most passionate. The feeling, I think, that the people have when they saw tango and also Tango Fire is that it's the real deal. You know, you can see there are a real connection. It's sensual form that it's, like, completely true. As you know, in other dance styles, like ballroom dance or salsa, the embrace is also more open, so you don't have too much connection between both bodies. And in the tango, you are so connected with the chest, with the legs, with all of these intricate movements. So I think this is something that people really love.
How were you first attracted to tango, and how did you elevate this dance form?
Well, I started with the tango when I was 10 years old. I think the thing that really turned me crazy about the tango was the connection. Probably because, you know, the tango at the age of 10, it's not about sensual desire or these kind of things. It's not probably more like a game. But after I started training in different styles in order, you know, to make or increase the level and technique of my dance, and even study choreography at the University of Buenos Aires, and that make much better, you know, and increase the level, dynamic, and creative of the choreographies of the tango.
Now, you wear several hats, director, choreographer, and dancer. Which is closest to your heart and why?
Well, are so different for me. I really love to be dancing on stage because it was the first thing that I started to do in my life. And of course, when you are dancing, you have a different feeling. But I also really love to work as a choreographer because you can, you know, show your vision to the entire world and put your creations on stage so the people can share that with you. So both of them are so special for me, but, you know, in different ways. I couldn't decide for one.
This is billed as a Broadway-style show. What can we look forward to in your New Orleans performance?
This show is a mix, you know, of traditional tango with modern tango. We trace the history of the tango since the very beginning, and we are moving, you know, moving forward in order to show different periods or ages of the tango, like 40s, 50s, 60s, that were the golden years of the tango. The people can expect show very dynamic, very real also, and very different because each couple has their own style. We will have fat couples. Between the fat couples, we will have four world tango champions. So it will be a very, very complete mix.
What is your favorite dance on this program?
I have two. One is Tuzu, that is my second solo. And it's also at some point very lyrical, but with a mix of very, very traditional tango, you know. It's very about connection, slow tempo. We are embraced. We are like flowing on the floor. And suddenly we have some kind of lift, you know. And the other one is also in first act, Canard en Paris, that is so fast. We hit our legs when we are in rehearsal because we have a lot of ganchos and boleos and all of this kind of stuff that is very fast and quick and short, you know, with the legs. So that would be like my very favorite and are very different each one.
When we leave the theater, what will we take away from this performance?
I really hope that the people love the show. The show that the people saw last time, it's completely, completely different to this one. So I really expect that they, you know, can really have a real approach to the tango and enjoy all the show, that they really love our culture and enjoy our performance.
I'm looking forward to it. Tango Fire director, choreographer, and dancer Herman Cornejo. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much today.
The New Orleans Ballet Association presents Tango Fire at the Mahalia Jackson Theater, Saturday, 8 p.m. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNN, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Across town, Made in New Orleans, Jazz Ballets debuts at the Marigny Opera House. It is a program of new dances crafted to music composed and performed by New Orleans jazz artists. Joining me to talk about these new works are Artistic Director Dave Herbert, Composer Russell Welch, and Choreographer Gretchen Erickson. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Diane.
Tell me, what was the inspiration for this work, Made in New Orleans Jazz Ballets?
We had a program last season called The Art of Jazz, and it was so successful we decided to try the same format again this season, calling it Jazz Ballets. We took some time out a few years ago to determine, we are a New Orleans-based resident contemporary ballet company. What should we be dancing as a New Orleans-based company? And the answer was staring us right in the face. Jazz. Fortunately, the Marigny Opera House has been home to a lot of the finest jazz musicians in New Orleans, and we tend to be good friends with many of them who perform in the Opera House from time to time. And so it was quite easy to pick serious composers of jazz music and classical music as well to compose original scores for us. Our choreographers and our dancers love the idea and also have loved collaborating with these jazz artists. And the exciting thing, too, is we have two brand new works, one by Kellis McSparren Oldenburg called Tells, and the music for that is by Rex Gregory. We're premiering Silk and Smoke, which Gretchen here has choreographed, and Russell has written the music for it.
Silk and Smoke, Gretchen, what was your inspiration?
My inspiration for this piece came directly from the music. As a choreographer, I find music as my inspiration to move. And to me, Russell's music is a love story. It's beautiful, romantic music. And my piece has three different couples. They dance all together in unison and individually as well. It is not a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, a full, complete story, but instead just a view into what's going on in their relationship at the time.
And the title, Silk and Smoke, is that the title of the dance, or is it the title of the composition and you used it also for the dance?
It is the title just for the dance. He had a different title for the music.
And Russell, tell us about your composition. What were you exploring and what do you call it?
I started using Whirl Asunder when I was making it, and the name kind of stuck. It's from King John. It's a Shakespeare quote where I think it's, I feel they'll whirl asunder and dismember me. So it's kind of like being in the rapture of unknown as far as the love part goes. But it's a love poem. The name sounds dark, but that's only in contrast. It's sweet.
Whirl asunder.
Whirl asunder.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have a story arc by itself, but it's in three movements, and the idea was the relationship feeling. So there's super beautiful parts, or tried to make it very, very nice and pretty and flowing, and then there's times after the initial beautifulness that it starts to get shorter under different time signature, maybe gets cut short by something that's a little more minor key, and you got to see if you get out of it or not. So it's not so much a linear story, but the meditation on it was all kind of love and relationships.
What are the instruments?
They're going to be three acoustic guitars, an upright bass, and a violin.
The title of it, Silk and Smoke, how did you come to that?
Well, the girls are wearing silk slips. It is a sexy piece for sure. And the guys definitely emit a bit of smoke, I think, in their movements. Russell's music has a bit of a tango feel to it. So it has that element of sexuality and intense partnering that tango kind of brings to the stage.
Now, the other work that's being premiered is called Tells by Kellis McSparren Oldenburg with music by Rex Gregory. Can you tell us a little bit more about that one, Dave?
Tells is a piece that uses all of our company's men. It is a ballet for six male dancers. The scene is a poker game, and the title Tells is a poker term. It's a change in a player's behavior or demeanor that might tip you off to what their hand might be or to what their intentions might be. So it's a fairly sneaky observation. The six guys playing the poker, it becomes quite contentious. You'll see some of their fantasies individually, as a group. There's a descension into chaos. It's quite an athletic piece. And the music is a brand new score by Rex Gregory, which is custom made to fit the action that Kellis has mapped out for the work.
And the third piece is one that premiered last season, Weary Heat by Jogo de Lima.
Weary Heat was a big favorite last season, with the music by Nutria Jazz Ensemble, and that's Byron Asher, Trey Boudreau, and Sean Myers. In that particular piece, the three musicians are actually on stage with the dancers. The piece, I believe, is pretty autobiographical. It's sort of fragments of memories, I think, from the choreographer. Jogo, who grew up in Brazil, spent a lot of time on the beach and in, I would guess, fairly steamy, erotically charged environments. And I believe this piece represents that pretty well. What I'm hoping is these jazz ballets will make people especially proud of what we've got here in this town and how good we are.
Artistic director Dave Hurlburt, composer Russell Welch, and choreographer Gretchen Erickson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Marigny Opera Ballet presents Made in New Orleans Jazz Ballets, opening Thursday with additional performances Friday and Sunday at the Marigny Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street. In the interest of full disclosure, I am a board member of the Marigny Opera House Foundation. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.